Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show, Uplifting Communities with John and Ms. J.
Hey.
And today we have a very special show for you guys today. And but before I go on, I would like to turn it over to Ms. J. And Ms. J, please take the opportunity and bring our special guest on.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank everybody for joining us this afternoon. If you're listening online, you can always dial in and join the conversation at 607-203-5336. And just press 1, and you can join the conversation. And if you're listening by telephone, just press 1. But we're so excited today to have community organizer Mr. Montgomery with us. Jermont is doing so many things, but what I really loved about him was what he's doing with his organization having everybody work together, learning about economics, owning property, it's a whole bunch. But I know he can explain it way better than me. So, Jermont, tell him a little bit about you, and then let's talk a little bit about your organization that you have, and then we'll go on from there.
No problem. So, hi, John. Hi, Ms. J.
Hello.
Yes, thanks for bringing me on to your show. I'm very happy that you reached out to me to be on your show. I've been working in community in Chicago for some years now, dealing with a number of issues, dealing with policy around youth, working with youth, dealing with policy around housing, dealing with policies around economic growth, and just basically someone that has always stuck his nose in the affairs of the community. And therefore, we always need to be, we complain so much, but we need to guide. How can I say this? We need to be there guiding and steering the, we need to be on the steering wheel instead of letting people give us what they think we need. And we, therefore, this is our tax money, these are our resources in our community, but we often are on the back end and receiving instructions instead of giving instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about Jermont. Let's talk about your nonprofit. And really what I want to talk about that is because you chose a Kwanzaa name. And I want to talk about, you know, why did you do that and actually what it all entails.
Well, so the Ojama Community Land Trust was born out of a number of conversations around land, agriculture, and preservation of a historic black community. Let's just be frank about it.
Right.
We in England, and if you're familiar with Chicago, especially the south side of Chicago, a number of communities have been slated for what you call gentrification. And that at times means the displacement, well, let's be honest, that really means the displacement of legacy community members, i.e. poor black people. So this is a way for us to stand up against it, in a sense, at the same time, put devices and mechanisms in place where we can retain and own our property and pass it down to generations and keep property in our family. At the same time, look at some of our livestock, vacant properties and vacant areas of our community, and see what other development can come along. And one of them is agribusinesses, food industry business, dealing with urban agriculture and a number of different economic systems that we can put in place to deal with unemployment, poverty in our own community.
That's really powerful, because pretty much you're saying that we're going to be responsible for our well-being. We're taking responsibility for our well-being, and that is something that me and John always says, that it is our responsibility to fix us.
And you know, I really like that what you say, because that's, you know, that should be everybody go in the communities, to where as though they're gonna pass the wealth down to their kids, you know. But I think it's something that we need to do before we can do that. And I want you to get your opinion on this. It's that we got to educate our young kids, our young people. We got to start now, since this is a new movement, you know, that we have, you know, throughout the United States, is the new movement. Well, I think we have to start with the younger kids. You know, like I was talking with a lady, and we was talking about their hearing. The little boy couldn't hardly hear anything, you know, in school. Okay, we got to make sure that our kids get tested for hearing, for glasses, for certain things. You know, we got to send them to counseling and let them know, because our communities, man, been beat down for many years. You know, and I was talking with a lady, you know, and she was telling me she owned her own home, and she owned it outright. She hated to leave her home to her daughter. And the reason why she don't want to leave her home to her daughter is because her daughter is on drugs. This is the type of problems we have in our communities.
And
you know, that's
one
of the problems.
Yeah, and I want to piggyback on you, John, because mental illness, I think, and learning disabilities, we attach shame to that instead of attaching healing energy. We get shame. We don't want to address that. We just like abuse. We don't want to talk about being abused. We don't want to talk. But these are issues that we have to address in order to heal, because you can't heal until you accept. And I think a lot of even people, we live in denial. If our rent is paid, we got food, and our kids is okay, then we okay. Anything outside that is irrelevant. And they fail to realize they're absolutely incorrect, because everything outside of that matters, because everything outside of that is why they got what they have. So we have to remember that, I think. I think we really do forget that.
Yes. So the question again that you just asked me, John, was that how do we deal with some of the mental illness? How do we take responsibility for certain testing that needs to be done, especially with our children, dealing with their best ways that they can better receive their education. And that's a number of straining from hearing, sight. So how can I answer that? So working with one of my previous employers and an elder and a legend in my community for years, a lady named Miss Jean Carter Hill, co-founded a organization called Magic Ink With If. She was doing community gardens, and while she was doing community gardens, she found out that children were getting sick. She's thinking she had good intentions at times, paid the world to something else. And she learned, so while they was working in these different vacant lots and so forth, she had the soil tested, and they found out there was high levels of lead in the soil. Kind of found out, research has shown that lead causes your neurons and synapses to be blocked, you know, information, or your brain not to function as a normal brain would. And it's even more deadly in children very young. So having said that, yes, we adults need to take full responsibility for whatever proper screening is needed for their children, so they can, our children need to have the advantage. They need to be firing on all senators. They need to have proper brain function, proper nutrition, everything that comes with them developing into a healthy adult. And so, yeah, I agree totally with that.
Absolutely. They need it all, you know. And like John said, it's a new generation of thought, a new generation of change. And sometimes as older people, we want it to be one way, and things are changing, so we got to plant some seeds, you know. Even if they don't do everything we do or do everything like we do, we got to plant those seeds, and we got to give them the tools to be their best all the time. That's
right.
Our job.
You know, yeah, it's so many geniuses. You know, me myself, I call them geniuses. Genius, you know, maybe because I'm an older gentleman. But if you can take, you know, like I look at, say, some of our young rappers, for example, these guys are smart. I mean, they geniuses. I know a lot of them, their lyrics and stuff is not that cool and stuff like that. But to be able to put that in content, that's major. And, you know,
yeah.
I mean, that's really major. I mean, they don't know. I don't know if they know what they have in that inside their brain. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Too, John, because they're businessmen. People may get mad at me, and you can get mad at me. But, you know, being a dope boy, you're a businessman. You got to count your money. You got to pay the bills. You got to rear up. That's like running a business.
Right.
So if they would apply that to running a legit business, it's not that they can't. It's just that that's fast money or whatever they, you know, whatever their reasons are. But going back to that intelligence is there. It just needs to be guided and molded.
Right.
Yes.
It's there.
Yes.
It's there. I mean,
and
it's definitely there.
That's where a number of different, I guess I can say, brothers and sisters that's tired of what they've been seeing our youth being guided into are now taking responsibility and now taking forth effort to take in young men and women under their wing, teach them new skill sets, what they didn't imagine. They could have never imagined starting a business and taking their new skill sets to be a financial engine for themselves. Their sisters that's showing young women how to repurpose furniture. There are sisters that's showing brothers and young brothers and sisters to how to enter the agribusiness, food business systems. There are brothers showing young men that could be involved in any and every other thing you can think about under the sun, ways of providing for themselves. So the new initiative is to give balance a job. In many ways. Now, is that the 100% cure to all our problems? Maybe, maybe not. But the self-pity, disenfranchisement, begging culture is being expelled for self-empowerment. And that's part of what we're talking about as a solution to our issues.
And that's a great point. What are some of the programs that you offer within your organization? Yeah. Do you have specific programs helping people start businesses?
We're a startup organization. We're growing. We came out of the existence of a number of conversations. So there's resources that's been privy to us that for this formulating. That's not with a new organization. So we're going to be working in the Chicago area, in a particular community named Inglewood. You probably heard about it for many negative things on the news, but I can tell you that our community is firing on all cylinders as far as community organizing is concerned, as far as galvanizing resources and strategizing for what the community should look like in the future. And as far as Ujamaa is concerned, we're going to be dealing with obtaining property so that we can create agribusinesses and reaching out to black farmers to come into an urban setting and to farm. And there's a number of different systems that's involved in that that's going to be very healthy. We're going to address health and wellness in the community. We're going to address access to healthy food in the community. We're going to be addressing a number of different issues that plague us. So we're in the very beginning stages right now of a roadmap, and these things will come to fruition very shortly.
That's pretty awesome.
Great.
Mm-hmm. It's so awesome.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if, well, I'm quite, I think Ms. J know about it. Well, then we lived on a farm. When I was coming up, well, then I'm from Louisiana. And my family was my grandmother and my grandmother, you know, they were sharecroppers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did. When they got a chance to leave the country, well, they did, and they didn't look back.
Mm-hmm.
And but they were very smart people, because they knew how to plant. They knew when to plant, how to, you know, everything. But they planted like corn, cotton, sweet potatoes,
mm-hmm.
large potatoes, different things like that. And I just was thinking, I say, now suppose a lot of these people, you know, would have got together and had land and did their own thing.
Right.
You know, planting
and
stuff.
And,
I mean, but.
And that's where it goes
the,
back to. I'm sorry
mm-hmm.
to cut you off. I didn't. So that's where it goes back to. I'm a city kid. I don't know nothing about land and growing and anything, you know. So when we talk about the disconnect from our current youth and everybody experience, we have a generation of children that has been disconnected from the elders, that's been disconnected from the land. And
Thank you, bro. We're talking
about
now
how we're going to get back to a whole healthy community. That's where it starts. You know,
uh-huh.
I was in
that's
a
right.
recent meeting dealing with, I was attending a class dealing with horticulture, seed cultivation and growing. And it was that terminology, I can't really relay it to you right now, was talking about the generational disconnect as far as food, healthy food. No, that's elders missing in our community to pass on healthy cooking habits, healthy eating habits, guidance and everything like that. We got disconnect, and now we got to get reconnected.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying, though, bro? Let me tell you something. On the real side, I don't know, our people, we, you know, never had really good eating habits. Good healthy eating habits.
That's
Ever since slavery, and the reason for that is
true.
Because they gave us what they wanted us to have. That's why we eat chitlins and all of that other stuff. But they had the
it's
knowledge.
Partially true, and it's partially true, and it's partially not. Our people was brought over here to because of our farming expertise. And there's no historical record of this. And we had a very good understanding on what can come out the land, how to make bring the best out the land. And, yeah, that's true, too. We was given the worst of the meat and the proteins, although we needed the best of it to carry on duties when we was in our unlawful bondage during that in this country. Now, where we have a disconnect is that, yes, the bad eating habits have passed down, but there was good eating habits too. And that was, and of course, there was great value systems that was passed down as well.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at records before 1968, majority of black family households was considered whole families. A father, a mother, and elders in all involved in the raising of children. Now we look at in the last some odd years, the last 40 years, and we see an inverse in that. We
mm-hmm.
can't dwell on the problem. We just can't afford to dwell on the problem anymore. It takes men, it takes women with the ability and a portion in their heart to say, look, I have to care. I have to put myself at risk. I got to stick myself, stick my neck out there. I might get hurt. I might get burnt. But I cannot not do something to address these issues there. And it's tough. I mean, I'm one of the just one of many brothers and sisters that's working in these communities, giving all they got. And I know, and they'll tell you, it may seem like it's too little, but you know, it's what we can give right now, and we're gonna give it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
you know what,
right, John?
Always say, oh, I'm sorry, John. I just want to say this.
I was gonna tell. I was gonna tell him.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, John.
No, that's all I was going to say. You're right. So go ahead, Ms. J.
No, I said, I'm sorry for cutting you off. But when you were talking about, you always say that we all got to take responsibility. You always say that, you know, people have to do whatever it is. It doesn't have to be big, but if everybody does do something, it'll amount to something big. And that's pretty much what he and I was just saying that you always say that.
Mhm. Yeah, you're right. But what I was saying, you know, like we are disconnected. Yes,
mm-hmm.
I agree with you 100% that we are disconnected. Because I remember, for example, when I was coming up, my grandmother, my grandmother and my dad couldn't read and write. But one thing,
mm-hmm.
they were smart people. They taught me
mm-hmm.
well. By not even anyhow, if they didn't know how to read and write, they taught me well. You know,
exactly.
they knew how to survive.
Exactly.
You know, when I say that, you know, they didn't eat well because of the food that they gave them, but they knew how to go and get the plants out the yard to mix with that food so they wouldn't get sick.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, they were very smart.
And that's not unusual. We are brilliant people. Literacy
yes.
is something, when we're talking about literacy, literacy does not equate to intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary to help navigate the society that we live in, and your and everything, being able to read and comprehend information that was placed in front of them, and a lot of our people was cheated out of our resources, cheated out of land because of issues with being kept away from literacy. So now
mm-hmm.
we have, but that does not speak to their genius. No, the genius of our people has been proven the test of time. And we're in another state. When you talked about these young men and women that's into the entertainment business as far as hip-hop is concerned and how they've been navigated into consistently putting out a negative message. But they understand their circumstances, and they report to their circumstances. When we expose them to another circumstance, another frame of thought, they will comprehend that. They will see the benefit of collective, being a collective, and working together in a collective, and challenging the system as it is.
It's a valid
mm-hmm.
point. Very valid point.
Valid.
Very valid. That you have protested, like I know you do a lot of community things. What are some of the things you stood up for, things you stood up against? What are some of the protests that you've done?
So moving on to the work around protesting or demonstrating, as many of us like to call it, as you know, in especially in Chicago, just like in many other cities, those that are involved become a very small community that runs into each other a lot. We're in meetings dealing with future planning with the around what this and that looks like. We also going to be downtown in City Hall being keeping an eye on our officials, and we're also gonna be catching a little heat when injustice occurred. And recently, injustice occurred. Let me back a bit. So yes, I've been involved with demonstration for some time now. Very short career, but not as lengthy as many of my friends, but it's been impactful. I was a leader in the Black Friday shutdown in Chicago, Illinois, along with Chicago's Magnificent Mile, one of the most profitable days and business districts in the nation, probably in the world. I've also planned and executed a number of other demonstrations, like on our Midway Airport, in which we blocked traffic in solidarity with victims of police violence and other demonstrations. So here in Chicago, we're standing in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in Charlotte, North Carolina, a beauty supply chain owned by outsiders. Allowed one of their store managers / owners to assault a black woman without any penalty or issuing an apology whatsoever. And we took that opportunity to address that issue in solidarity here in Chicago with our brothers and sisters in Charlotte, North Carolina. So we're on day 41 of a boycott of this store, Misha Beauty Supply Stores, or Misha U.S. Incorporated. And we're nonstop. We've been turning business away. And we're trying to educate and redirect the black dollar to black-owned beauty supply stores as well.
Well, that's pretty awesome. You know, when I listen to your story, you know, I just have to ask, what just made you say, I'm going to be the one to take all this on? Because when you hear all the things that you're doing, all the things that you're going to do or you in the process of doing, it's a lot. What made you feel that it was your mission to make sure it gets done?
I don't know. Maybe I'm a busybody. I could just be the person that was chosen. I don't know. I have a story. I was a young man at one point in time trying to find my way, got involved in some negative things. I ended up going to the penitentiary before I graduated from high school. I returned from that stint in the penitentiary and returned to my high school, graduated, and went on to college. And always had a love for my people. I was involved in student affairs, student government, Black Caucus, British Club, had a great mentor. Always identified with my 100% black community. I'm a product of a black community, a community that's been under fire. I belong to a group of what we call ourselves black men that's been on the fire for so long as not being able to take charge, I don't see myself as that. I see myself as someone that can control my own destiny, even when situations are not optimal, and I will do what I can, someone that takes action. And I think I want to encourage anybody that's out there, take action. There's nothing can be done. If you're in your community, wherever you live, whatever city and state, municipality you're in, you can get involved. You can get in tune with affairs. No, millions and millions of dollars are passing through your community. If you go to some of these public planning meetings and stuff like that, and they're planning something major for your community without a community benefit agreement, they're planning something major for your community without informing the people before they do it, you have to take responsibility.
Okay.
You have to get engaged.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, with that, Sage, we only got 60 seconds left on the show, so I'm going to ask Ms. J to close us out.
Well, first of all, thank you, Jermaine, for joining us this afternoon. I will post his contact information on his website, which we have been doing all week. But well, thank everybody for joining us. It was a great show, a lot of information, and we really appreciate everybody taking the time to join us. Jermaine, if you had a quick couple of seconds to say something positive to the people besides what you just did, what would it be, son?
Love yourself. Get out there and figure out a way to love yourself. I know we've been taught to not love ourselves, but that's the start. Love yourself and get out there and get engaged and learn to love others.
Absolutely. And Mr. John L. Brown.
Thanks a lot, Jamar, for coming on the show, man. We have the audience. We got a board filled up right now, and they, you really poured out a lot of knowledge to everyone. Thank you so much. And with that said, good night, everybody.
Peace and blessings. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.